You know, it's difficult to follow instructions. This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. It's difficult to follow instructions. We all go to school and we're told by our teachers information, and if we like it, we take it, and if we don't like it, we poo-poo it. We are raised by our parents and our peers to follow instructions, and if we follow it, great. If we don't, great. Now, in a recent experience with one of our students, Roger, I spent a lot of time with him. I spent a lot of time counseling with him, talking with him, guiding him, and he was having trouble with his family. He was having trouble with his children. They didn't want to write to him. They didn't want to contact him. They didn't want to do anything. And I said, Roger, you write to your kids just as though they're writing to you. Just pretend that you get a letter back for every letter you write. Just write, but not write, don't write those long letters you like to write that are 8 pages long. I said, they're sick to get that because you don't say anything. All you do is just ramble on and you're saying nothing. Say 3 or 4 significant paragraphs. Say, I just painted a picture, and it was very nice, and everybody around me is enjoying it so much. And I read a new book, and I was talking to somebody, and I said to them, you know, thoughts are things. And they said, buh. And I said, yes, thoughts are things. And then I told them why thoughts are things, you know. And I said, Roger, just write stuff like that. You know, just write stuff that is touching you and not preachy. Don't go preaching to your kids because you have no right to preach to them because you've never been a father to them. You've always been distant from them. Now, write to them of your love, of your experiences. And if your letters are so interesting, they'll read them. And they'll get the messages that you're putting in your letters, not because you're putting it in there, but because that's who you are. That's the life you're leading. And I did this for years. Years and years and years and years and years. In fact, many years, 10 years better. You know, I mean, I'm persistent. I don't give up on people. And so finally Roger said, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I don't hear from my son. You know, I said, Roger, have you been writing them, your daughter, your son, your ex, all these people, once a week at least, a little 1 or 2 or 3 paragraph letter on one side of a sheet of paper, you know, and don't fill the whole paper, just with 3 little paragraphs of little incidents in your life? No. I said, well, Roger, as soon as you start doing that, you will hear from your family. They really love you, but they don't know you. Now, introduce yourself to them by telling them what your thinking is, what your attitudes are, what you think about the world. All right, Herb. You know, and I said, finally, you know, as they say in German, endlich. You know, so finally. So he began writing to his son, and he couldn't get through to him. So he wrote to his daughter to send it to his son. And she is not very good at it, but she did it sometimes. Then he wrote to his ex to send to his son. And she did it sometimes and sometimes not. Well, the boy got a few letters. But the letters that he got made him feel very close to his dad. And enough close so that he started writing himself. And so now he's writing himself. Well, now, Roger, it took patience. Roger is now receiving a letter once a week from his son, once a month from his daughter, and once in a blue moon from his ex, which is okay. But he's receiving these things now from them, not just me, from them. And he said, it is heaven. It is heaven. I said, what does Roger Jr. talk about? He said, and what he told me was nothing. You know, just his everyday experiences, nothing special at all. But it worked. You see, If we will write to those that we love and tell them in little paragraphs, no longer than 3 or 4 lines long, 3 or 4 paragraphs, about what we're doing, and not preachy, not saying they should do this or they should read this book. I read this book, and I enjoyed this book, and this book just, oh, wow, did I have fun reading that book. And if you are a good reporter, and you're really excited, they'll get excited, too. And they'll say, well, Roger told me about that book. And they sort of look for it, you know. They don't maybe go out and buy it right away, but they look for it. And then they find it, because it just turns up, oftentimes even on the bookshelf. They had it and never looked at it. But this is what Roger is doing. His life is turning around. Roger's in prison, and he's been in prison for many, many years, and he got out of prison. And he went out to visit his family when he got out of prison, and his son said, you know, you never wrote to me, you never talked to me, I don't want anything to do with you. The daughter said, yeah, I got other things to do. And the ex-wife says, no way do I want you around here, you know. And so he was so unhappy, he put himself back in prison. Silly, isn't it? He went in the park and smoked some marijuana because he knew the police would catch him there and put him back in prison. Now, isn't that stupid? But you see, he had nothing. He needed to have a belonging. But first he had to belong to himself. First he had to like himself enough that he felt what he did was worthwhile telling to those he would like to love. And then he began telling it. And I persistently was kicking him on the tail, saying, write, Roger, write to them. And not such long letters, you know, and not such sorrowful letters where you feel sorry for yourself, because they don't care about that. You put yourself in prison, not them. All they want to know is, what you doing? What have you been up to, Dad? Oh, you're working in a factory. Oh, you're working night and day. Oh, that's interesting. Fantastic, you know. So you're in prison, you're this. It makes no difference where you are. It's just, where are you and what are you doing where you are? And Roger is conducting a ministry in prison. And he has a number of people that come to him and talk to him every day about their problems, about their life, and he's their pastor. And he's doing a great job. But the thing is, first he had to learn to like himself before he could write to his family, before he could be of any value to his world. And he says, I really sometimes wonder why I'm here, but I realize because I'm so pig-headed, it took me a long time to learn to even write letters to my own kids and to enjoy what I could have enjoyed all along. Each of us is like that. Each of us we do not know how to write letters. We do not know how to do it. Now, we have a lady in Switzerland, in Germany, actually in London. We'll get it straight yet. Chrissy in London. And Chrissy she's just a super lady, just believing in this philosophy and living it and teaching it to all of her nurses and all of the people that she knows. But when it comes time to write her thesis, she writes her thesis all sort of hobgoblin. But when she writes her notes about the people she's talking to and the people she's working with and the people she wants me to work with her, she speaks so clearly, so elegantly, so perfectly, and her illustrations are so, I want to say, in a curt, a short,
concise.
Compact, concise, that's the word. Her illustrations are so concise and so beautifully put, they would make a beautiful essay. They'd make a beautiful thesis. You know, they'd just be fantastic. But if you give her a pen and she starts getting long-winded, the pen just doesn't know what to write about. Mm-hmm. But if you have to give her a short few minutes in an email, she condenses it down concisely, and it's beautiful. When we learn how to do that ourselves, to be concise, I'm working with the monks here at the monastery, and it is a fruitless task. It is an endless operation. I say, Ellen, would you like to go? And Ellen says, no, I've got some other things I'm doing. I said, Ellen, would you like to go? No, I can't. Ellen, would you like to go? No.
Yes.
Oh, no. Wonderful. People talk too much. When you're asked a question, answer it. Would you like to go? No. Do you think it's going to soften the no by giving me all the garbage you put around it? No. When we learn to be concise, to take our thoughts and say them concisely, we can say, no, thank you. And it'd be fun to go. Ask me another time, I really would like to go. But right now I've got something else I'm doing. But no. See, the answer is there, specific, definite, concise. And when we learn to do things concisely, all the world is our oyster. All the world is fun. But when we get so verbose and we just talk out a storm, like you may think I do sometimes, but when we talk out a storm, it's only because we don't want someone to be unhappy with our decisions. And we want to be happy with our decisions, don't we? And how are we happy with our decisions? We're happy with our decisions when we make our decision for one reason. And what is that reason?
I am myself and I have fun.
Because I like me. I am myself and I have fun. Because I like me. Mm-hmm. Because I like me. Now, do you want to go? No. Oh, why don't you go? It's no fun not having you along. Herb, I said no. I don't have to explain why. But why? I want you to go. Well, Herb, to tell you the truth, you're so hyper right now, I don't think I'd be comfortable going with you. So please, knock it off. Get off my back, you know.
Well, you don't have to say that.
Well, I didn't say it. You pushed me into saying it, you know. I just kindly said to you, no, you know. And but you see, when you like yourself, you can just kindly say no and never even have to give an illustration, even if you get pushed. You just never fall in the trap of losing your cool. Just like yourself. And when you like yourself, hey, I say to Rex, down. And Rex looks at me. He says, all the way down or halfway down? What would you want? And then I say, Rex, down, you decide. And so he lays all the way down. You see, that makes him happy. He's a content guy. And you're a content person when you like yourself. Do you think Rex likes himself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you bet he does.
Yeah.
Do you think every one of our monks here like themselves?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Now, do you know any monk here who doesn't like themselves?
No. Nope.
This one right here. Mr. X over here. And you know what Mr. X does? He's always comparing to somebody else. Always comparing everything that's going on to somebody else. And because he always compares, what happens? He doesn't like himself. And he doesn't get what he wants. I have to shut up when I go around the country, because I go around the world and I'm talking to people and they show me their trinkets, and I love trinkets and gadgets, you know. And they show me their trinkets and say, wow, what a neat knife, what a wonderful, it's got a flashlight in it, it's got everything. Gee, that's so cool, you know. And then Herbert Marty takes it off of his keychain and says, here, Herb, that's for you. I said, thank you, Herbert, but I really could have bought one for myself. I just was admiring it. I just, you know, so enthusiastic when I see something that's fun to have, you know. And now I tell you, I should stop doing that so people don't give me, you know, everything. But I can't, because if I see something that is exciting and beautiful, I'm going to get excited over it. And if I see things that are not exciting, hey, Herb, how do you like this? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Well, don't give it to me because I surely don't want it. But that's the way the world goes around. So, just remember, don't be like Roger, taking so many years to finally follow the directions. I was his teacher, and I was his sharer, and I was the person giving him his directions and advice on his pathway as a student. And he didn't follow it. And when he finally followed it, it worked! Well, you too know that you only need one lesson. And what is that lesson?
I like me.
Be yourself and have fun. I like me. I like me. Be yourself and have fun. But it's true. It's true. Now, yes, I like me. That's what it is. But I like me, being yourself and having fun. Now, when you like yourself, and you are yourself and have fun, you see, you can like yourself and still be in the trap of thinking you have to do what other people want you to do. But when you really like yourself, there is only one person whose directions you follow, and whose is that? Your own. That's right. She didn't speak up this time. She just pointed to herself. But you see, but even this now, even the joke that we have about this, we want it to be right. We want it to be correct. We wanted to have our own way and be correct. But naturally, what I'm thinking and what you're thinking are the same thing, but we use different words. And that's understandable, and that's the way it should be. But follow yourself. Follow your heart. Like yourself. And when you like yourself, everything works out for you. So beautiful, so wonderful, that you just could never imagine. So I recommend to you, after these 17 minutes of sharing together, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.